Good morning, saints. Thank you so much. We are so impressed to see this church. And you know, when I read those words, church on fire, I was so impressed. And I could see the fire burning over there. I said, there is fire here. And you know, when I was seeking the face of the Lord, just to know what message the Lord wanted me to bring to his people, the Lord gave me a message which is entitled, Jesus Makes a Difference. And I looked in your pamphlet there, on the, just the first, the first page, I think so. It's written there, the kingdom making is, is that the cover? Yeah, on the cover. Just on the cover, the first, the front page, yeah, the cover. Says, the kingdom, can somebody read for me? I read something. Yeah, let me have it. Yes. I saw here written an international church, you know, making a difference for the kingdom of God. I said, wow, it could be God here is telling me something about this church. And as we had to pray together, I really enjoyed that we can pray for people, even Zimbabwe. Zimbabwe is our neighbor, just close borders to Zambia. And so we are so thankful. We'll take the word and tell them, people in Hong Kong are praying for you. They'll be very encouraged. Shall we pray together? Father, I want to thank you for this opportunity that you have given me, O Lord our Father, before these precious people. The Lord our God, I may bring forth the words that you've laid upon my heart. I pray that you may help me as I communicate your word, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We are looking at a passage that has been read to us already from John chapter 1, starting from verses 1 to 14. I'm sure the people understood what has already been read, so I do not have to go through that, and I'm given only 25 minutes, so I've got to make sure I stick to time if I could. So in the passage that has been read to us, I entitled this passage, as I've said, Jesus Makes a Difference. Now, if you look in this passage, I'm sorry, I forgot something. Just let me show you something. If we examine this passage, you'll find that actually John is talking about three things here. The first thing that we shall look at is actually the revelation of Jesus Christ. You know, here, John starts by saying, in the beginning was the Word. So he's revealing Jesus, and that is the point we are going to look at first. We are looking at this very important segment of Scripture where John had to reveal Jesus. And secondly, we are going to look at the rejection of Jesus Christ. You see it as we begin reading verses 10 and 11. He's talking about the rejection of Jesus Christ. And verses 12 to 13, he's talking about reception of Jesus Christ. These are the three main points we shall be able to consider, God willing, this morning. Now, in the book of Matthew, chapter 16 and verse 13 downwards, Jesus asked his disciples at Caesarea Philip and said, who do people say the Son of Man is? And they began to give answers. Some say he is John the Baptist. Some say he is Elijah. Some say he is Jeremiah. And some say he is one of the prophets. Then he turned to the disciples and said to them, What about you? Who do you say I am? I don't know whether they couldn't answer immediately, but Peter answered. He said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. I wonder, I know that it's very, very important for us, first of all, to know the person. The way you know the person, or the level at which you know the person, is the way you are going to relate to that person. If that person is somebody that you love so much, you are going to relate to him very, very closely. If somebody is a boss at work, and he comes to you maybe in a short, you don't know him, but that he's a boss, then somebody tells you, this is your boss. You have to stand, you know, in fear. Because you know that if you do anything wrong, the boss can punish you. Because you know that person. So in this scripture, allow me to just read once more how John begins to write here. He says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning the light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The light, the true light that gives light to every man, was coming into the world. So we can begin, first of all, looking at this passage as the revelation of Jesus Christ. John here was revealing Jesus to the world. I want us to understand that he makes four profound statements here. The first one that he says here in verse 1, he's actually talking about Jesus being God, that Jesus was God. He says here that in the beginning was the Word. But you see, the Apostle John does not actually tell us at the beginning what or who this Word was. He just says, in the beginning was the Word. Actually, the Word is a unit of speech by which we express ourselves. Maybe one would say, may I have a word with you? Meaning that somebody wants to talk to you. But in this passage, John is not talking about speech. He is talking about a person. And verse 14 actually makes it explicitly clear. In verse 14, he says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only one who came from the Father. That is the first statement that John makes here, that Jesus is God. Meaning that at the beginning of creation, he was there. He is not part of the creation, but he was the creator. And we notice also that, you know, because he was there in the beginning, he is co-eternal with the Father. And he coexisted. Even today, he coexists with the Father. They are together. And he is co-eternal. He is not a creature like all others, no. He is the creator. He is God. And actually, John wanted the people, all of us as believers, to understand that. Secondly, he says Jesus is life. That is another profound statement. If we look at verses 3 there, through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that was made. And then he comes to verse 3. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. So Jesus was not only God, but he was also the life. Jesus is life. And we see here that, you know, he doesn't just possess life, but he is the life himself. If we read 1 John chapter 5 and verse 11 to 13, the Bible there tells us, God has given us this testimony. The testimony is that God has given us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. So Jesus does not only possess life, he is life himself. That also entails that if you do not have him, then you are dead. You have no life in you. And John wanted to make this very, very clear to his hearers and to us today. He also tells us that in this life was actually light. He is the light of the world. Jesus is the light of the world. And in John chapter 8, and verse 12, he said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will walk not in darkness, but will have the light of life. So you can see, these are very important things that we must understand. Who is this Jesus? He is God, he is life, and he is light. Without him, we are in darkness. Because he is the one who gives the light of life. Without Jesus, you don't know where you are. You don't know where you're going. You are just lost. Spiritually, you are dark. You don't know where you're going. You don't see the danger around you. You know, light reveals danger. Light can show you where to go. And Jesus is the light. He says in John 14 and verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He is the only light to take you into the kingdom of God. Then the next profound statement that John makes in this passage, the part that we read, he is actually here talking about the purpose of Jesus coming into the world. Let's look at verse 7. In verse 7, John says, He came as a witness to testify concerning that light. Which light? Jesus. So that through him all men might believe. Through him, through Jesus, all men might believe. Actually, those of you who have read the book of John, you will find that that is the purpose, the central reason why the Gospel of John has been written. John chapter 20, verse 31. These things have been written that you may know that Jesus is Lord, and that believing in him, you may have life in him. That is the purpose. Because what the Bible is talking about here is not just the head knowledge. No. It's talking about knowing him intimately. Knowing him, having that personal relationship with him. You know, Paul, for example, in the book of Philippians, chapter 3, and verse 10. His goal in life was to know Jesus. Having known him initially when he accepted him as his personal Savior and Lord, in verse 10 of chapter 3, Philippians, he says, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, so that I may become like him in his death, that somehow I may share in the resurrection of the saints. So that was a main goal for him, to grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. So, men and women of God, those of you who have a living relationship with Jesus, our knowing Him is not just at the beginning. We may continue to know Him. We may continue to grow in His grace, in His love, in our intimacy towards Him. It's very, very important. But in this passage, John was talking about people coming to know Him as their Savior and Lord. Then, the next point we are looking at, the next section we are looking at, is now the rejection. If you look at verse 9, which has been read to us already, but I will read it again in verse 10. Here he says, He was in the world, and though the world was made through Him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was His own, but His own did not receive Him. That is a rejection. Jesus was rejected. He came to His own creation. I've told you already that He is the Creator. He came down, and He was rejected from two angles. The first is that the whole world, of course there are some few, but the whole world has rejected Jesus Christ. On the whole, the world rejected their Creator. We were in China, we could not be allowed to speak the word of God. Very sad indeed. They've rejected the Savior of the world. And in many countries, some countries, it is like that. They mention Him just from lip service, but they don't put their trust in Him. Then, that is the first level. Then, the next level is that He came to the Jews, His own, the people who were chosen. Even among the Jews, many people did not receive Him. Some would say, is this not the carpenter's son? Don't we know his father also is Joseph? And they couldn't believe the things that he was doing. So here we see the rejection of Jesus Christ. Now I want us to consider why has the world really rejected Jesus? I have three reasons here. The first one is actually that the devil has blinded the minds of unbelievers. If we read 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, the word of God tells us that the prince of this world, the devil, has actually blinded the minds of unbelievers. So we, as people in fire, we need to pray that these people may have their eyes opened by the Spirit of God. Without that, they will remain in darkness because they are blinded by the devil. The second reason why the world rejects Jesus is that they are ashamed of Him. But Paul, when he writes to the Romans, Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, he says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. So, many people today are ashamed of Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 32, the Lord Jesus says, He who recognizes me, who rejects me before men, I will also reject him before my Father in heaven. But the one who recognizes me, I will also recognize him in the presence of my Father in heaven. That's Matthew chapter 10, verse 32. So you can see here that the world at large is ashamed of Jesus. Some people even hide to carry the Bible. They don't want to identify themselves as Christians because they think, if I say I'm a Christian, they say, you are backwards. No, we must not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ because it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. The last reason why people actually reject the Lord Jesus Christ is that, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ, they don't have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith is a problem. It is a universal problem to have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. People want to believe in what they can see, what they can touch, like Thomas, who said, unless I see the footprints and touch the where he was pierced, I cannot believe. But you see, I have something to show you here. I've got a small machine in my pocket. I want you to see it, if you can, even from the back there. I don't know whether you have ever had this machine. Maybe you don't know it in Hong Kong. But do you know this machine? You don't have it here, no. Is it here? This is a cell phone, and there are plenty here. Of course, I'm just joking there. But you find that man, because he was created in the image of God and given that knowledge of creativity, has got knowledge to create a thing, to make a thing, not to create, to make a thing like this. And if I want to phone my wife in Zambia, calling her number, there is no wires connecting to Zambia. But I wonder how word will go all the way, all the countries, and just go, not to any other person, but to my wife alone. Hey. Now, if man can make that, what about our Creator? When he says, believe and you'll be saved, is that impossible? If man who has been created can bring up a thing like this, and there are many things that you see that man has done, what about his Creator? So, faith is the thing that is lacking. The Bible says, without faith it is impossible to please God. And you know, he doesn't want us to do any work in order to be saved. Yes, works are good, but he wants us to believe him. Salvation is by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's how we are saved. Not by works, lest any man should boast. But by faith. The righteous shall walk by faith. And that's what God demands from each one of us. And the people cannot just take that. But these little things can show you that, you know, if man can do this, God can do much more. In the book of Psalm 139, I think we read there that even before a thought is formed in your mind, God has already known about it. He said to Jeremiah, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. This is the God that we worship. And that is Jesus. He knows everything about you. Let me come to my last point now. This is now the reception of Jesus Christ. The reception of Jesus Christ. And we read these words from verses 12. Verses 12 and 13. Yet to all who received him, meaning to those who received Jesus, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of human, of natural descent, nor a human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. Now here, this is where I actually took that title, that Jesus makes a difference. Jesus makes a difference. To those who believed in him, to those who believed in his name, the Bible tells us that he gave the power, he gave the right for them to enter into the kingdom of God, to become children of God. So what we see here is that Jesus is the one that gives eternal life. If you believe him right now, he will give you eternal life. If you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You know, he is the one that brings us into the kingdom of God. Jesus Christ is the one who makes us cross over from death to life. Your situation now, that you are not a believer in the Lord Jesus, it, according to the way God sees you, you are dead spiritually. But when you believe in him, he makes a change. You cross over from death to life. And that is important. He brings peace in your heart. There is peace between you and God, whereas before there was enmity. All these are some of the differences that Jesus, you know, brings in our hearts when we believe him. He turns our sorrow to joy. We are set free from the bondage of Satan. We are now children of God. And this is not a small thing. John writes and says, "Behold the man of love, the Father has lavished upon us, that we should be called the children of God." And this is what we are. Perhaps my time is over now. I would like to just pose this challenge as we come to the end of this service. I know this is a church where many people maybe are already believers. But just in case you have not really accepted Jesus Christ and you don't know how it is to be done, I would ask that today will be the time. As I conclude, I'm reminded of the thief on the cross. You know, these two thieves, Jesus was being accused, but Jesus was praying for the people, even if they were insulting him. One of them also said, "You also, if you are the Son of Man, take yourself from the cross and also us." The other one rebuked him. "Don't you fear God, because we are under the same condemnation. You and I deserve to be here because of our deeds. But he has not done anything." Then this man said, "Lord Jesus, remember me when you come into your heavenly kingdom." And just there, the Lord said to him, "Today, not tomorrow, not next year, today, you will be with me in paradise." That man received eternal life because Jesus is the life giver. And the other person was also listening, but he never made a decision. He was just adamant. He was hearing the other friend being promised, "Today you will be with me in paradise." The devil had blinded his mind. He couldn't understand. Brethren, I want to close here and ask that as we bow down to pray, in case you would like to really receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, this day will make a difference for eternity in your life. It is true. Just the same Jesus you love here in Hong Kong is the same Jesus we love in Zambia as well. We read the same Bible. He is the ruler of the world. He is our creator and our sustainer. I shall bow down, and I just want to ask if anyone would like to surrender his heart to Jesus and say, "Lord Jesus, today I want to give myself to you." Just as an indication, if you can raise up your hand where you are, I would like to pray with you. Is there anyone who feels God is my creator and today I would like to give my life to Jesus? Is there anyone, please? Is there anybody? Thank you, my dear sisters. God bless you. Are there any others? Brethren, God speaks. And when he does so, do not hesitate. Those sisters who have raised their hands, are there any others before I pray so that we can lead you to the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ? you know, disaster can come any time. You have no guarantee to your life. Just as it happened in China, it can happen to anyone, anywhere. Is there any other hands? Okay. Let's just pray together, shall we? I'd like to talk to the sisters afterwards. Father in the heavens, I want to thank you for the two sisters who today have realized that without you, O Lord, they can do nothing. Without you in this world, they are lost. Without you, Lord Jesus, they have no life. Today, O Lord our God, they have come to you. They have heard your word. And I pray, O Lord our God, that even as I go and speak to them afterwards, may you grant me the grace to help these our sisters to receive you as their personal Savior and Lord. Father, be glorified in all that has been said. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.